from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Fast food is a big part of the American diet. It's quick, it's convenient, it's easy on the wallet, but generally bad for our health. The new move is toward healthy fast food. At least that's the claim. Lots of new players looking to offer you good, healthy food in a hurry. Are they delivering? This hour on Point, the push for healthy fast food and how healthy it really is. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Have you moved on from burgers and fries? Have you found truly healthy fast food? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Everybody wants to claim that healthy flag these days, that good food flag. Chipotle was out there earlier. Here's a promotional video with the company founder, Steve Ellis.
At Chipotle, we get deliveries of raw meat, vegetables, fresh herbs on the stems, and whole avocados. And we have to turn these things into delicious food.
Raw, fresh, delicious herbs on stems, whole avocados. Sounds like food paradise. But what's going on with the so-called healthy fast food movement? Let's look at it. Joining us now from Toronto is food writer David Sachs. His latest book is The Tastemakers, Why We're Crazy for Cupcakes But Fed Up with Fondue. David Sachs, welcome back to On Point. Didn't expect to hear from you so soon, but we're very happy to have you.
Great to be back.
And from Louisville, Kentucky, Alicia Kelso joins us. She's senior editorial director at fastcasual.com, qsrweb.com, and pizzamarketplace.com. She covers the business, the industry. Alicia, welcome. Wonderful to have you here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
David Sachs, what's going on? Suddenly, everybody with a counter out there wants to tell you that they're pushing terrific healthy food across it. What's happening?
Well, I think it's a mixture of sort of demand and larger trends. There are people who want food that's healthy when they have lunch in their workday. My wife's a perfect example, but don't have the time to go to a proper restaurant or may not have made the meal that day. And they look at chains like McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and even Subway, and they say, well, there's not that many options here. So if somebody's able to serve them and provide a healthier option in a quick amount of time, then there's a big, big market there. And the other thing is, you know, we're constantly being told, even if we don't necessarily follow that advice, eat healthier, we need to be healthy. You know, we're all very unhealthy. We need to be eating better. And that is in the media constantly. And so people have this idea that they should be eating better. And so because that idea is there, it sort of builds up this latent demand that if somebody sells something which they say is healthier, even if it necessarily isn't, that's an advantage in the market over something like fries, which we all know.
Everybody definitely wants to put on the healthy face these days. Here's an ad from Subway, sandwich chain, of course, locations all over the world, boasting its healthy selections.
At Subway, we are seriously into veggies. That's why we get right to work every morning, preparing them fresh, right in store. Only thing better than creating this cool, crisp, colorful rainbow is watching you work your sandwich magic, making a one-of-a-kind creation bursting with flavor. We're all about finding unique veggies that give your sandwich even more life, like avocado, spinach, red onion. So come on in and get your veggie on. Subway, eat fresh.
Everybody trying to get in on it. Even here in July is McDonald's president and CEO Don Thompson talking about, fresh food.
Health is going to be determined by the person who decides to buy that. I will tell you, yes, more fruits, more vegetables, that's definitely a part of our plan in an ongoing fashion. At the same time, I'm going to tell you, a Big Mac, two all beef patties, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. It is all real food. It is all very fresh food.
McDonald's CEO Alicia Kelso, everybody wants a piece of this. What's going on?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the fast casual, we break things down in silos more in the industry more than consumers do. So Consumers don't necessarily know that, you know, a Chipotle is a fast casual concept and McDonald's is a quick service.
Fast casual versus quick service. Okay, what's the difference? What's happening?
Well, there's a couple of differences. One is business model. And price point and fast casual slightly higher, but it's still limited service. So you don't have a staff delivering food to your table. You don't have to tip. So that feeds
this
into the affordability.
This is Panera and Chipotle and all that kind of. You still go to the counter, but it's a little more prepared for you.
Right. It leverages the quick service nature of what we want. We want on the go still. We don't want to go sit down and have a wait staff come to us. We don't have time for that. And, you know, this fast casual segment's been around for, you know, since Chipotle jumped on the scene. But the growth has been, I mean, staggering. It's probably about inching close to 10% of the entire restaurant industry now, about $40 billion in sales last year. And if you think about it, in 2005, it was about $12 billion. So that kind of outlines how fast it's grown. And it's consumer-driven, like it was mentioned earlier. We are more sophisticated as consumers than we used to be. And, you know, that's driven because we have more information available to us on the internet. The Food Network, you know, Hell's Kitchen is in the mainstream. We want transparency in our food, and fast casual has really leveraged those buzzwords, healthy, you know, indulgence, and better for you, customized, and fast.
David, I'm looking here at a pie chart of American food. This is 2013, so fast casual may be even bigger now. But fast food, straight up fast food, almost 44% of what Americans eat at restaurants. Full service, about 48%. Almost 8%, that was last year, Alicia's saying now maybe up almost to 10. It's the big growing thing. McDonald's numbers aren't so good lately. Describe some of the players out there in this healthier fast food arena, David.
Well, fast casual, as Alicia said, you know, Chipotle is sort of the big one. I think in a way, Subway sort of was preceding Chipotle, but you know, Chipotle sort of made the model, and everything you see in this space is what I call the Chipotlefication of some other type of cuisine.
What's the formula? You know, what do they fall into?
The formula is basically, it's almost like a fresh made to order high school cafeteria line. You know, it's you go in, okay, what do you want your format to be? Do you want a bowl? Do you want a wrap? Do you want a sandwich? Do you want a salad? Okay, what's your protein? Do you want chicken? You want pork? You want veg? You know, you want tofu? All right, now what are your toppings? You get three of these and four of these. Okay, there you go. Thanks. And it's sort of at the door. But you see your meal being assembled for you. It's customizable. Whereas at McDonald's or Burger King, you can't say, well, I want a Big Mac, but I want three extra patties on it, and I don't want the pickles because I don't like pickles, but I'll also take, you know, a McNugget on top, which I'm sure is
I think I read McDonald's is experimenting with that idea themselves now, that they may be rolling out some of that customization.
You know, it's very difficult for their business model. Think of McDonald's as sort of a top-down military or corporate organization where things are made centralized, and there's very little variation in what they can do. That's the model. The model is there is no variation, so any kid can go in and sort of make it.
And it is huge. I mean, it's almost $36 billion compared to Subway and fast food is number
and
two at 12.
And it's because it's the incumbent.
Wendy's
it's the
eight.
Incumbent. Mm-hmm. So it's been there since the 50s and the 60s, and that's the model that's been followed with everything from McDonald's and Burger King to Taco Bell to KFC. As fast casual has grown, small individual entrepreneurs see that they can start off with one or two of these things and grow them out, but it doesn't require all the back-end systems and warehousing and logistics that a McDonald's has, because as Steve Ellis said, you know, we could buy chicken and we can buy lettuce and we can buy herbs on the stem and make them. And so it's being applied to every single type of cuisine, from things like burgers and fries, just done in a different way, to all sorts of ethnic cuisines, Indian food, Vietnamese food, Filipino food. All of them have their sort of Chipotle fast casual version that are starting up around America.
Alicia, describe some of these new players, these new contenders for us. I mean, looking at a list here, Sweetgreen, Freshy, Native Foods Cafe, Just Salad in the Detroit area, The Big Salad, Life Kitchen, Be Good, Zoe's Kitchen. Tell us about some of these, Alicia.
Yeah, Life Kitchen was actually started by some former McDonald's executives. So
that's pretty wild. Now they've gone to the healthy, fresh path. Okay.
They know where it's at, right?
Yeah.
But you know, salads is a big sub segment of this fast casual segment, and you know, we're starting it. Five Guys and Smashburger. Those kind of burger players have been around and have grown so fast in the past few years. Besides Chipotle and you know, Panera with the bakery cafe type things, mm-hmm. smaller places, Brugger's and Boston's. We're starting to see the, like he said, the more ethnic places. How do you roll? Is a sushi place?
But ethnic, you know, I mean, healthy is what we're trying to find here. How can you be Smashburger and be really that much more healthy than McDonald's? Isn't that still just burgers and fries as the baseline?
It is, and that's where they don't necessarily leverage healthier. They leverage better burger. That was their claim. So they're taking these buzzwords like, okay, this is McDonald's has a burger. We have a better burger. So the better burger segment is reaching mass consumption. But surely now we're seeing
better burgers is not the backbone of an outfit called Sweet Green or Tender Greens or Freshy, presumably.
No, that's where the other guys have started to come in and have said, okay, Chipotle can do this with this business model, and Five Guys and Smashburger can do this with this business model. Let's do something else. And that's where the Indian cuisine and the Mediterranean cuisine and the sushi cuisine and the salad cuisines, all of these things are very fledgling, but they have a lot of growth potential, and the demand is there.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new outlets, the new claims of healthy fast food, looking at what's out there and how good it really is. David Sachs is with us, author of The Taste Makers. Alicia Kelso is here from fastcasual.com and qsrweb.com. She knows the industry, joining us from Louisville, Kentucky. Everybody trying to get in on this sort of, we're doing it better, we're doing it healthier. Last month, Taco Bell launched the Cantina Bell menu. In addition to its current offerings, higher quality food, they say, at a slightly higher price.
World-class chef Lorena Garcia personally created the new Cantina Burrito Bowl using her all-new ingredients like citrus herb marinated chicken, cilantro-infused rice, black beans, guacamole from Haas Avocados, and a roasted corn and pepper salsa. Taco Bell's all-new Cantina Burrito Bowl. You'll love it or we'll replace it with something you do. Guaranteed.
Fresh, 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 and name all kinds of vegetables in there. And off we go. In an interview with Bloomberg not long ago, founder and CEO of the Toronto-based Freshy, Matthew Corrin, explained the movement toward healthier fast food.
Healthy fast food in the 80s and 90s tried and failed because they tried to do healthy burgers and fries. And I think there's a time and a place for splurging, and everything's in moderation. But more often than not, you should be thinking about brown rice and whole grains as opposed to white flour and fries and fried food.
Healthy fast food, but is it healthy? David Sachs, Alicia Kelso, stand by. Cheryl in Plattsburgh, New York. Cheryl, what do you see out there?
Hi, Tom. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll be really right to the point.
Okay.
I disagree. Okay? Anything that comes prepackaged is not healthy. It's got some form of preservative in it. Probably the salt content is very high. And I'm just chiming in to say we are a society that we want a quick fix, we want a quick meal, and we think advertising is totally honest.
But Cheryl, we heard the CEO of Chipotle saying, come on, we bring in all these veggies every day, herbs with the stem on, we're chopping all this up for you every morning. Isn't that what you want?
Well, Tom, I make my own vegetable soup. I pre-make food to eat every day, knowing what's going into my body. Not that I'm fanatic about it.
Yep.
I do eat out. But I just have to chime in, and I appreciate your panel there, because as we know, just because somebody says something is black doesn't mean it's black. And
right. You can call it healthy, but is it healthy? David Sachs, now there are a lot of things going on here. Some of these are just better burgers, as Alicia says. But when you look at those who really push the healthy, good food message here in their marketing, are they delivering, David?
I think generally they are. I mean, even something that is a healthier burger, is it healthier for you in terms of calories and weight compared to a McDonald's or a Burger King burger? It's probably about the same. But the quality of the beef that they're using and the way that's being cooked and the way it's prepared and the lack of preservatives in it does make it healthier in that sense. I mean, there's a growing burger chain here in Toronto called Burger's Priest, which is similar to Smash Burger, but they grind all the beef in-house. So they use, you know, fresh cuts of chuck, and they put it through a grinder, you know, while they're doing service, and pat out the patty and cook it on the grill. And so that is better than something that's been treated with ammonia or pink slime or been made in a factory and pre-frozen and
shipped off
somewhere.
Is it actually better? Is it healthier? I mean, it's still beef. It's still got the red meat problems. I mean, it's much more appealing in culinary terms, but in health terms, does it matter if it's a McDonald's burger or ground in the back room?
That is, I'm not a dietitian. I know you're having Marion Nessel on here after, so she can talk about that. But certainly in terms of, you know, the preservatives and the idea that you should eat things that have ingredients that you could recognize, yes, in that way it's better. In that way, you know, the tacos and burritos at Chipotle, which are cooked from fresh ingredients, herbs on the stem and, you know, actual cuts of chicken breast that they're cutting, or chicken thighs actually, is healthier in that sense from the same burrito you would get from Taco Bell. And just as Taco Bell is putting out their Cantina Bell bowl, you know, their biggest seller and the reason their stock's up so much is because they made a taco made out of a Dorito shell, which I don't think is something that any of these fast casual chains are doing.
That doesn't sound like the road to heavenly health right there. Jess in Framingham, Massachusetts. Jess, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What do you see?
I'd like to talk about Subway and their Eat Fresh logo. Are they actually fresh? Their packaged meat is you know, brought in with nitrogen packed. And are their veggies brought in by a distributor, Sysco, Agar, U.S. Foods? And how healthy is that? You know, if you cut the produce in the morning, you could call it fresh produce, but it really isn't fresh. It's packaged somewhere else and brought in. Now, is that in-house healthy? Okay, that's a big question mark on there. You know, and it really comes down to price and your labor cost control versus your time that you want to put that product out to the customer.
Just let us get in here somebody who's right in the middle of all this. And I appreciate your call. I want to go to Atlanta, Georgia. Alicia David, stand by. Pierre Panos joins us right now from Atlanta, founder of Fresh to Order. They got locations in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. Also founder and CEO of Quality Service America. It's got lots of restaurants. Brookwood Grill, a whole lot of, I don't know, 40, 50 Papa John's. Kind of restaurant mogul who has moved into this healthy presentation. Pierre Panos, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you got Fresh to Order. What is it?
Well, what we did with Fresh to Order is I always believed that quality food did not have to break the bank. And my background is also fine dining. That's what I've been in pretty much my whole life.
Okay.
So the idea was to take that quality food and being able to bring it down to the under 10 minutes and around $10 category. So providing the taste profiles, flavor profiles, preparation methods, and some of the experience, food-wise, at least taste-wise, of a finer dining restaurant, but not too expensive, and get it to you quick without having to leave a tip. So fast is the operative word. But what is very important to me as well is it had to be healthful, it had to be on trend, because healthy is definitely on trend right now, but people want flavor when they eat. So healthy and flavor sometimes don't go that well together. So how do you blend? How do you merge those two? That's the secret. And how do you do it that a guest can come in, get healthy food, get it fast, get a great experience, only pay $10, not leave a tip, and be happy with the experience? The perceived value is everything to me.
Yeah.
And how do we get that perceived value going?
We're trying to assess where it ends up in terms of health. You've got fast covered. You've got finer dining. Maybe it tastes wonderful. You heard our listener just now calling in saying, look, if it's still packaged meats, if it's vegetables that are off the back of a big Sysco food distribution truck, that doesn't count. How do you assess what's healthier?
And I agree 100% with them. To me, if something's coming from a commissary, if you are getting your chicken and it's being cooked in a commissary and it's being packaged and it's being sent to you, or your salmon or your beef, and you're not cooking it on premise, then to me, it's not healthy because there are a lot of additives, there are a lot of preservatives. You don't know how that product was handled. If you're getting in a fresh piece of filet, fresh salmon, fresh chicken, you're assessing the freshness of the quality as it comes in. And if you're using the right purveyors, if you use like we do, you know, grain-fed, grass-fed, hormone-free Argentinian beef, you know that when that product comes in, it's good, it's sourced good, we get it raw. So we know it hasn't been prepackaged or pre-cooked or par-cooked. And we cook it fresh to order on the flame right in front of you. So you're visually seeing fresh. You know it's healthy because, you know, we let our guests know what's in our product. The consumer today is very smart and they're getting smarter the whole time. So the buzzwords, the on-trend that, you know, other concepts use, you got to be very careful how you use them, because you can only, in essentially, fool people a certain amount of the time. And eventually they cotton on. the American consumer is very smart. So healthy to me is absolutely prepared. It's got to be prepared in-house. Visually, you've got to see the preparation being done, cooked from raw. So proteins cooked from raw, not prepackaged, not done in a commissary. Those are all extremely important elements of our concept. And you've got to be very careful where you source from. Is it locally sourced? Or did it come from Mexico on a tractor, on a train, on a, you know, a boat to you, whatever? If you're doing that kind of stuff, can it really be healthy? Can it really be fresh? So packaged food to me that comes in pre-prepared and pre-packaged and is simply heated up and served is absolutely not healthy because you don't know what's going in it. So I do agree with the previous caller.
David Sacks, there's this whole question of how we define what's healthy. I mean, people love these days locally sourced, and we understand why for all kinds of reasons. I don't know if it ends up being that much healthier than something that's brought from some distance. Maybe it does, but maybe that's just an aesthetic choice these days. Or maybe it's a healthy planet choice is more than a healthy body choice, David.
Yeah, these are sort of different food trends that we're talking about, but they do get conflated, especially around marketing. So what Pierre is talking about is, you know, the concept that fresher is healthier for you. And there's been, you know, talk about that in many ways. Michael Pollan's talked about it in The Omnivore's Dilemma, and it certainly tastes better. I think that's one reason why people would sort of prefer that over something that had been cooked and frozen and reheated and preserved. But, you know, it all depends on your definition of health as well. And in a lot of these chains, you know, you have sort of the option to do both. So when I go with my wife to a fast casual restaurant when we're grabbing lunch, you know, she'll choose the salad bowl and she'll choose a lot of vegetables. And my inclination is like, oh, yeah, I'll get cheese on that, of course. You know, I'll do the steak option. Oh, I definitely want it in some sort of bread wrap. And again, you know, we both perceive that it's being healthy, but, you know, everybody has their different metric. If you're comparing this to, you know, the Burger King Baconator with, you know, six patties and 20 pieces of bacon and a bacon sundae for dessert, yes, it's going to be healthier.
That's a pretty low bar, my friend.
That's a low bar. But the other thing as well you have to remember, Tom, is and I assume, you know, unless you're a macrobiotic vegan, you know, we try to eat healthier, but we're not all eating salads every single day for every meal, or we're not all eating vegetables.
That's
we like
sure.
a range of flavors.
Look at the numbers.
And so even when we indulge in something like a burger or a sandwich or burrito, we want to know that it's healthful or the healthiest available method of preparation while still having the convenience of this fast casual business concept. As what Pierre said, you know, get me out of there in 10 minutes under $10.
Let me get Vivian from Green Bay, Wisconsin on. Hi, Vivian, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hello.
I'm a vegetarian and I have been trying for years to get McDonald's managers to do something about offering a vegetarian burger, a veggie burger.
Yeah.
And
seems easy.
Okay.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Well, you would think it's basically frozen. They could do it. And I'm a senior, and I have a lot of senior friends who like McDonald's, and I like some of their menu items and their special senior prices.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone has to consider, well, what's Vivian going to eat? And
so what do you do when you need it fast and tasty?
Oh, a Burger King, good veggie burger.
Ah,
Culver's,
okay.
Which is local here to the Midwest.
Yep.
They have a good veggie burger. A&W has a grilled cheese.
And root beer, and you're off to the races.
Yeah, and I've introduced countless friends to Chipotle since they got here about a year and a half ago.
Vivian, it sounds like you're one of these new consumers who's really looking to find those threads of healthier food within the offerings. Maybe new offerings coming to you soon as well. I appreciate your calling, Green Bay. One more right here, Cleveland. Doug, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Tom.
Yeah.
I've been a vegan now for about 8 months, and before that I was a vegetarian for about 7. And I have to say that the benefits have been immense in my life. And I guess with the conversation going on, I don't mean to stray too much, but I was curious if anybody has any facts at all in regards to with the percentage increase of healthy purchases being made for food and such, if there has been an increase in vegan and vegetarians as well in the country.
Well, Pierre, let me put that to you. Are the vegans and vegetarians like Doug and Vivian part of what's pushing you to more options on that front?
Absolutely. Vegetarians, vegans, including people who are gluten intolerant, are absolutely more vocal. And if they find a place that caters to them and not only can amend the menu if they order it, but in fact, caters to them by having a separate vegan, vegetarian menu like we do. What that does, it enables them to make choices that are on the menu without having to deconstruct our menu and try to get it vegetarian or vegan or gluten-free for them. So absolutely, it drives our decision as to what we do and how we do it. So have we seen an increase? Yes. When we launched the concept in 2006, in the first year or two, it was a little bit slow. And then our guests really got what we were trying to do. And more over the years, we've seen some very vocal vegetarians say, hey, we really like this place. And gluten-free intolerant people also say that. So we've catered more and more to them, and we found that it has absolutely helped our business. And I just wanted to bring up one other point. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's talking about fast casual. Okay, is it truly healthy? Well, the different levels of fast casual, from the bottom end to the top end. I like to call fresh to order a fast fine concept. So now I'm really throwing something in the works, right? Another word out there.
Yep.
What is fast fine? We feel we've coined the term. Well, fast fine basically is where you do get to cook your proteins fresh. Your products are made fresh in-house. Your soups are made fresh in-house daily. We're not getting it from a commissary. So all of fast casual pretty much is not doing that now. So I think the new micro niche above fast casual, which will be $1 to $1.50 more, but will still provide similar elements, will be a little bit of an elevated building. Mm-hmm. Your product is going to be that much better and fresh. It's going to be made in-house. You're still going to pay $1 more. Your service will be better. Your facility will be better. But the bottom line is the quality of the food and the perceived value you're going to be getting is going to be worth $13, but you're only paying $10 or $11, which is basically $1 more than the very top end of fast casual. So,
Pierre, before reading up for this conversation, I had no idea how into these concepts you restaurant guys are. I mean, you were just polishing concepts and tweaking them and looking for that form, that key that fits right in the lock of what people want with so much focused attention. It's amazing. You're talking about $1 or $1.50 more. Alicia Kelso, I'm looking here at statistics say the average per person expenditure at McDonald's is $5.60 for an average meal. Whereas in this fast casual realm, it's more like $9 to $13 per meal. What about the American population, this movement toward healthier fast food, but the cost of it? $5.60 is a lot less than $9 or $13 per meal.
It is. But from what I've heard from, CEO earnings calls and talking to people like Pierre, we're still very tight with our wallets. We might have some numbers from the recession showing some semblance of recovery, but when it comes down to it, we're still very discriminate with how we spend. Mm-hmm. And because of that, a lot of us are willing to spend $2, $3 more for something that is perceived to be better. There's still a lot of fast food concepts that are doing quite well. We see the headlines that shows McDonald's sales are down and what's going on at McDonald's.
Here's a headline. Americans are totally over fast food burgers.
Yeah, but, Wendy's isn't doing bad. Burger King's doing pretty well and tightening their wallets and spending more smartly. Mm-hmm. And there's other fast food concepts that are doing really well, too. Popeyes is doing great. KFC isn't necessarily. But there's always going to be a purpose and an audience for fast food, for the $4 to $5 and the value menus, the 99-cent menus. So fast casual is growing like wildfire, but fast food isn't, it's not time to write it off yet.
Alicia Kelso, Senior Editorial Director for Food at FastCasual.com. Alicia, thanks for joining us today. Great to have you.
All right, thanks for having me.
And Pierre Panos with Fresh to Order. Good luck with your new concept, Mr. Panos. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the new outlets, the new claims of healthy fast food, looking at what's out there and how good it really is. Everybody's noticed that consumers want something a little different. McDonald's noticed. Here's the former president and COO of McDonald's, who's now started a California-based Life Kitchen chain. Two former McDonald's executives looking to get on the healthy fast food trend. But even at McDonald's, he said, they noticed people wanted to eat better.
Their customers, 8 years ago, were asking for this kind of food. So we rolled out with a lot of support from a lot of people.
Right. The apple dippers.
Apple dippers, fruit and yogurt parfait,
the
side salads, Newman's Own salad dressings.
Oh, it's a bounty of healthiness. And what about options? Everybody wants healthy options. Here's Panera founder Ron Shaikh, CNBC, saying his company offers lots of options.
If you're in a situation where you want to eat low calorie, you can get it at Panera. If you want high protein, you can get it at Panera. If you want to eat any number of ways, you can get it at Panera.
Marion Nessel, nutritionist, joins us. Professor of nutrition joins us in just a moment. David Sachs is with us, food writer, author of Save the Deli and The Taste Makers, Why We're Crazy for Cupcakes But Fed Up with Fondue, joins us from Toronto. David, lots of response online here. It's fun. People are into this. Addie says, Sweet Green, that's one of these new outfits, is bomb. Just had it for lunch today. Lila says, more please. Colleen, love Sweet Green. Kevin Smith said, love the idea. Barbara, having a healthy option helps me keep food choices easy and to stay on track. But others, you know, here's Dave who says, Chipotle is stupid expensive. I can't get out of there for less than $12.50 versus Subway, Taco Bell, $7. And EL says Chipotle's vegetable options would be commended. Be aware that its claims of responsibility, sustainability, and humanely sourced meat are largely fraudulent. They had to back off some of those claims as their volume went up, David. Is it sustainable, you know, to serve Americans all the fast food they want and keep the promises that are being made?
It's difficult, you know, in the food business, even if you're starting with one restaurant, as you scale and expand, you come up against these problems of scale and they're often met by doing the very unhealthy sort of practices that the fast food chains are criticized for. It's very tempting to create a commissary where you prepare a lot of the food centrally and then ship it out to other locations. The economics of that are far better and far more advantageous than preparing the food in-house at every place because of the labor involved, the training involved, the logistics involved. You have to remember, Tom, that you know what we're talking about here are business models. The fast casual business model can be applied to any number of foods. So it can be applied to things that are as decadent as hamburgers and cheeseburgers and giant submarine sandwiches. And they can be applied to things like Sweet Green and Freshy, which are essentially salad bars. The difference is that they provide more opportunity and flexibility for healthy options than the you know 1950s McDonald's style fast food model, which relies on that central distribution system, and that makes it difficult to serve fresh vegetables, which, as you know from your own refrigerator, as soon as you cut those things, they start to wilt. Right?
Yep.
You have to prepare those a la minute, so to speak. It's almost like food trucks. You know, food trucks, there are a lot of food trucks that boast about how healthy they are because the food's prepared fresh, but, you know, I can get a deep-fried bacon-stuffed donut from a food truck,
right.
Or I could get a veggie wrap. It provides sort of an open-ended set of options, but it isn't inherently healthier than either a sit-down restaurant or fast food dining.
And then there's a question of what we'll really go for. Arky writes to us, says, your typical fast food customer wants the heart attack on a bun. I'm looking at a list here of the top five chains right now. 1 through 5 are McDonald's, Subway, Starbucks, Wendy's, and Burger King. And then they look out to 2020 and they project McDonald's, Starbucks, Subway, Dunkin' Donuts, Chick-fil-A. That doesn't exactly sound like a giant revolution. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. John is calling. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Tom.
Hi. What have you found?
Well, I actually own and operate a small fresh sushi provider and called Rolled Right. And we provide fresh, both packaged sushi and also buffet type sushi for cafes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because we find a challenge that marketing the freshness and the healthiness is often difficult. We provide to cafes and cafe managers will tell us, well, our customers are demanding brown rice sushi, which is certainly perceived as more healthful.
Yeah.
And so if we make it and deliver it, the funny thing is the customers, when they actually see it, they actually don't want it, right? They, say they want healthy,
yeah.
But the funny thing is they don't actually buy it.
Yeah, so they say, we want brown rice. Hey, wait a minute, it's brown. we want white rice.
Right. White rice just simply looks beautiful next to the fish.
Do you think it will ultimately take off, John? Will we ultimately spin into a new sphere of healthful choices?
Well, I sure hope so, and we're trying our darndest to do it. But yeah, you know, the marketing surrounding that and convincing people that, as I think Pierre mentioned earlier, that, you know, if something is packaged, it can be helpful, but it needs to come from the right place.
John, I appreciate your call. Just because they say they want it doesn't mean it's what they'll take, but maybe down the road. Vicki in Austin, Texas. Vicki, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Hi.
So my question is comes from a couple of different directions. I am a former professional chef and was for the longest part of my career involved in spa cuisine. But the real question I have, I live in Austin. We have every food choice possible, for which I'm personally grateful, to get to the point. I wondered if any of our guests, your guests, have directed their energies or attention or profits to providing better choices for the inner city food deserts, where even a McDonald's would be perhaps a better choice than what they're offered at convenience stores.
That's interesting, because if this is just a step up in price point, will they even put these new healthier fast food outlets in lower income areas of the country? I don't know if you followed that, David.
I haven't followed it. I mean, I've sort of seen it with my own eyes. I mean, these chains that we're talking about, Sweetgreen, Freshy, and so forth, Pierre's chain, you know, are in affluent areas. That's where they start. And that is where, you know, the greatest appetite in terms of consumer demand is for healthy or vegetarian food, for instance, less so in lower income areas. So it's sort of a catch-22. I think there have, you know, been pushes and subsidies and programs as part of the First Lady Obama's program, you know, Partnership for Healthy America. I know there's been, you know, the idea to bring farmers markets and fresh fruit and vegetables into a lot of communities. But whether someone will sort of crack that code to create a lower priced, healthier option that appeals to people living in those communities, it's a tremendous business opportunity. It's just a difficult format because everything that Pierre was talking about, that it takes to make fresh food, brings you to that $10 price point and above the $5 price point that seems to be the sort of economic sweet spots for economically disadvantaged or lower income communities.
This is not two cheeseburgers for $2.
No, but if there's a way to make healthier food appealing to people in those communities at a price point, then, you know, there will be people there who eat it. And you see independent restaurants in these communities. You see, you know, when I here in Toronto and sort of the Jamaican communities and the Caribbean communities, which are lower income, you get vegetarian Trinidadian doubles and vegetarian roti sandwiches, which is sort of like a flatbread sandwich with peas and potatoes and cauliflower and sort of curries in it for $5, and they sell very well. So there are markets there, but it's a bolder step to go into a market like that than it is to go into the financial district here in Toronto where Freshy started out and has expanded because, you know, they're smack in the basement of all the major banks and investment firms here and law firms, and people won't balk at paying $12 for a bowl of salad.
Freshy, Veggie Grill, Tender Green, Zoe's Kitchen, Be Good, Sweet Green, Life Kitchen, Native Foods Cafe, Chop, Just Salad, Baja Fresh, all these pushing in on this healthier fast food zone. David, stand by in Toronto. The great Marion Nessel joins us right now from New York City, professor of nutrition, food studies, and public health at NYU, author of What to Eat and Food Politics. Marion, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you.
Oh, hi, Tom. Glad to be here.
So what do you think of this? There's a lot of noise being made about healthy, fast food. Is that an oxymoron? Do you buy it? Are we seeing it emerge, Marion?
Oh, I absolutely buy it. I think it's a real testimony to the strength of the food movement, which has demanded healthier, better sourced, fresher, better tasting food and is willing to pay for it. I mean, I can't believe the lines that are outside of the Sweetgreen outlets in Manhattan. Astonishing. They go around the block. And the idea that this many people are fighting for a position to get salads for lunch is just amazing to me. I think it's terrific. And all of the major fast food chains are noticing this because these are educated, affluent customers who have the money to buy these things. And I see it as an enormous testimony to what's happened in the food movement over the last 10 years.
So have we found the magic elixir here then? Just put out some healthier fast food outlets and off Americans will go in a new direction, a whole new profile, maybe 50 pounds lighter.
Oh, it may be. It's certainly, you know, as a nutritionist, I'm interested in people eating more vegetables and balancing calories. Those are the two most important factors in healthy diets these days. And this will make it easier for people to eat vegetables. And that's really what we want to do. We want to change the society so that healthier foods become the default.
Calories. What about portion size?
Well, that's the Chipotle problem. Chipotle's business model is to, I think, encourage people to eat far more than they actually need because you pay one price. And they don't encourage people to pick smaller portions or to pick the single taco because that's not their business model. So they're going to have to change that. They know they need to change that. They just can't figure out how.
Let's go to Pete in Lebanon, Tennessee. Pete, thanks very much for calling. You're on the air. What's your story, Pete?
Well, I am an oxymoron. I own Uncle Pete's
Me too,
truck
Pete.
Stop.
Okay.
And Uncle Pete's truck stop for the last 25 years, these guys are way behind the time. We have served fresh from the farm lunches every day for $5. We have fast food. Our beef is so fresh. A week ago, we patted it on the head and called it bossy. This works. I'm in a neighborhood of nothing but corporate truck stops, and yet I've survived, and people who have to fuel at the other ones come here to eat breakfast or lunch or dinner, and I see the traveling public and the traveling world who have been told on the internet and
yep.
stuff about us because for $6, you can get a chef salad, or you can get a grilled chicken salad. You know, we've got all the things that everybody's talking about, and we've been doing it, and the public loves it.
How do you source your veggies and all that, Pete? Are they from...
My tomato man is 7 years old, and his name is Daryl. I buy corn from a girl who is a freshman in college and picks it off of her dad's farm. I get cucumbers and stuff from other farmers, from farmers market. I buy everything I can buy locally.
Pete, we want to look you up online. What's the name of the truck stop again, Pete's?
Uncle Pete's on Interstate 40. Cooking like your mama, we'll burn the biscuits every now and then just to make you feel at home.
Uncle Pete, we're very glad you called. We're going to look you up, sir, when we come through. Thank you so much, and keep doing it. Pat that bussy on the head. Jeremy in Nashville. You're on the air, Jeremy.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What are you up to?
I'm really enjoying this conversation. I own a new restaurant concept called Sloco. It's a sandwich shop where we source everything locally, everything organically. And the idea of it being to, as we expand, we can help to rebuild infrastructure of supply of local and organic that can then be scaled up. And I think the scaling is the only part in the last hour that hasn't really been talked about, that what these healthy, fast casual places, if they're sourcing sustainably and correctly, can do is they're the key to scaling up affordable local and organic food for everybody. So, you know, we can then trickle that down to the other, to the areas that needed the food deserts and all the places where price is an issue. So,
Jeremy, what are you offering that's healthy and tasty and that I can get for, I don't know, a reasonable price? What can I have for lunch at Sloco today?
We are a sub shop. So we're trying to mimic the operations of the food industry that allow us to scale up, but also do everything real. We use whole animals, cure our own meats. We make our own bread. We make our own mustard. Average sandwich price is $7.31,
and it's all done right there, right down to curing the meat. I wish you very good luck, Jeremy. Marion Nissel, let me ask you, as a nutritionist, I mean, we love the sound of all this. Local, organic, cures it himself, makes his own mustard. Does that mean it's healthier?
It could be. It could be. You know, health depends on everything that you eat and everything that you do and how much you're eating, as much as what you're eating. And those issues it's still possible to gain a lot of weight on a vegetarian diet, although you have to work much harder to do it.
Yeah.
So I think this is a real trend in the right direction. I'm very excited about it. I can't believe what's happening. It's kind of astonishing to watch, and very gratifying. And let's hear it for the food movement, which has really brought this on.
And the entrepreneurs coming in to scale it up, as Jeremy says he hopes to do in Nashville. And David Sachs, there's a kind of logic in it. If enough restaurants and consumers jump on this bandwagon, you can change your sourcing as well. You can encourage more veggies being grown in your own backyard.
It has a tremendous economic impact, as Professor Nestle was saying about the farmers. You know, the organics movement was sort of this political movement of people in places like Cambridge and Berkeley. You're saying, you know, we need to grow organics because of soil degradation and water health. But when it became a food trend and people started eating it for health, and it was at Walmart, that's when the industry really grew in the farming side.
Well, who knows? Maybe we can flip our food ways with a little healthy fast food here. Be discriminating in what you go for, but maybe it will happen. Maybe it's happening right now. David Sachs, author of The Tastemakers, always great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us today, David.
Thank you so much.
And Marion Nessel, big nutrition maven out of New York City, author of What to Eat. Marion, good eating to you. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
On Point is produced by Nick Anderson, Catherine Brewer, Julie Jopp, Sam Gail Rosen, Eileen Imada, Stefano Katsonis, Sarah Platt, James Ross, and Dean Russell, with help from Abigail Collins and Gretel Kaufman. Our executive producer is Karen Schiffman. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us. This is On Point.